Live from Los Angeles and Milwaukee, this is the Bachelor Masters, and if memory serves, Chris, you're heading down to Chicago after Milwaukee here in a bit so that you can go check out Joe's grocery store.
Yeah, that's my main objective there. I really got to see what this ladies' man, what his hometown is all about and what his grocery store has to offer. Because if the produce is rotten, I'm going to assume so is he, and I'm going to turn against him. Right. I got to say, Craig, and ECR, I don't know if you guys agree, but I think he came off a little better in the Paradise episode that we'll talk about as part of our podcast this week.
Right. First, we got to talk about the super exciting and fun last two contestants on Bachelorette. I was going to ask, do we do trigger warnings on our podcast? Are there things that we talk about that we should put a trigger warning in front of?
Content warning. Trigger's a little different than content. Content, I feel like, is more overarching.
Right.
And trigger is like, I've had this trauma, but someone else might have it. That's how it feels to me.
All right. Well, let me try to bring it up without triggering anyone. I sort of feel it's hard to talk about Blake without half jokingly, but half seriously bringing up suicide attempts.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm intrigued. I hate for the opposite of a trigger warning to be like a you piqued my curiosity kind of thing, but you piqued my curiosity, Craig.
Well, I have nothing to report, but when Chris Harrison comes on at the beginning of the episode, he goes, this is going to be the most dramatic and gut-wrenching episode ever with crying and heartbreak, because
emotional
at the end of it, Blake is going to commit suicide.
Yeah, I can kind of see what you're saying, the way he introed that. Isn't that like, what is... you know what? No, I don't think it's a movie that's been made, but there is this idea out there about a reality show where people commit suicide on screen, and that's the whole point of the reality show. It's like, get people to commit suicide.
Whoa.
Was it not Battle Royale, but it's one about, like, kids?
Because I think this is some script that's, like, not been produced yet, but is banged around on lists like The Blacklist or certain, like, highly read but unproduced scripts list. Somehow I've read a version of this a few times, but I can't remember. ECR, you might be right about the origin story. I don't know exactly.
Oh.
But it sounds like that, Craig. It wasn't your script then.
Well, to reinforce the suicide watch, Blake, throughout the 3 hours, gets more and more sweaty. Did you notice that?
Yes.
I kind of relate because I sweat a lot, especially in that kind of heat. But I mean, they're in the middle of the Indian Ocean. But he starts off totally not wet. And then by the end of it, he is absolutely drenched. He's so drenched that his hair is all wet, too.
Relate to that for sure. It's funny you're saying this kind of content warning, trigger warning thing, because right before we went on, I subconsciously made the suggestion to watch only Bachelor in Paradise. And I think a reason for that was because I did not want to sit through that again. But it was all completely subconscious. It does feel like a heavy scenes of just gross nothingness. There's no real anything that happens there. Because we all knew, right, that Garrett was going to get chosen. And I haven't looked at any blogs.
Wait, so did you watch the finale or not?
I did. And I watched it, you know, when Hulu does the 4 a.m. They put it up, so no commercials. And so it was 2 hours of show.
Yeah.
1 hour of commercials, and that's rough.
Yeah, no, I did something similar because Better Call Saul premiered at the same time, so I was sort of negotiating both of them. I did happen to catch, like I promised I would on the last podcast, I happened to catch a new couple on Live with whoever and whoever. It's not Regis and Kelly.
Kelly and Ryan.
That show is absurdly unwatchable.
If you have to like her. You have to
well,
like
she wasn't even on it. It was some other, it was a fill-in who I didn't
know. Oh, well, that's right. But to watch that show, I realized you have to really like her because she is kind of funny, Kelly Ripa. But I've tried to watch it for an interview once, and I was like, oh, this is hard to watch. This is like when the news is over, what's left?
What's his name? What's the dude's name?
Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest. He's over there. He's like literally falling out of his chair because he's so hopped up on whatever hot uppers. And he's like, I mean, he looks like an orangutan at the zoo. Like, and then, you know, the lights are way too bright, right? And then they have contests every 5 minutes. So they're like, all right, now for a contest. And then, like, they have some studio audience member dancing around in front of a green screen, and then some big wheel is spinning. And then, of course, they got to go to Gelman, the producer who's been on the show forever. He's got to do his little thing. Well, anyway, they roll out Becca and Garrett, and they seem fine. This is after they've addressed the Insta scandal the night before.
Well called, by the way, Craig, because I was doubtful in this finale, but then sure enough, they brought it up, and I have to tip my hat to you.
I actually was thinking, did they really have to wait for the last segment to bring it up? They had a whole hour.
Well, they even had Garrett bring it up instead of them bring it up, right? Which is kind of like...
GCR, that goes to your point, that it was like the very constructed, safe way to bring it up, where obviously it wasn't like a gotcha or something. It was like, let's give him a softball way to apologize and explain himself.
Right, and it was horrible, wasn't it? I mean, sorry, Craig, go tell your story, but
no,
that was
nothing.
A horrible, quote-unquote, apology, because all he said was, I've been practicing this apology, but it's basically all on my Instagram because someone wrote it for me. And then he kept saying the word, like, I made mistakes. What's the mistake, the like or the belief?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's not addressing the issue. He's addressing the controversy.
Right.
I don't understand.
I'm sorry that I upset
saying.
You. It's kind of
yeah.
Equivalent. Yeah.
We've all said that to somebody.
Right. And I totally have. Or I've said, I'm sorry I think that, and I don't care that you don't like that I think that.
I'm sorry that you think that way.
There's that part of it, and there's also the downplaying of it of, you know, just because I double tapped on something, I take my double tap seriously. Like, I don't just go like all the way down. Is that what he's implying? Or is he implying that it doesn't really matter what you like? It was convoluted. It didn't make any sense. So sorry, Craig, did he address it again differently at all?
Oh, you mean on Regis and Kathy? No.
Yeah, Regis and Kathy.
Well,
honestly,
it was really early in the morning, and the absolute opposite. Like, I'm sitting there groggy, trying to drink my coffee. They're hopping mad, like it's the New Year's Eve or something.
Yeah.
So I'm like trying to understand this wave of over exuberance that's coming through my TV. I didn't quite catch all of it consciously. But yeah, I think what's his name was like, blah blah social media, and Garrett's like, yeah, you know, we're working with that, and then that was kind of it. I mean, the segments are so short on that show too. They
right.
bring him out, they do a little dog and pony show, then they cut to commercial, then they come back, hey, we're here with Becca and Garrett, and then they do a contest, and then they go to Gelman, and then they come back. You add it all together, it's like three questions.
And right, no. That's
they're not even questions. They're like question-esque statements said in the direction of the guest.
So there's Jimmy Kimmel.
I missed Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, Good Morning America. And then there's Regis, which I didn't understand, or not Regis, whatever, Kelly Ripa. And I didn't really understand that they went on that either. Is there anything else that they went on?
No, I think
because they have a contract with ABC to go on all their shows.
Yeah, of course. No, I think that's it. They go on Jimmy Kimmel right after because he's on the West Coast. And then they fly, and it's always a big joke about how tired they are after having flying cross-country.
Right, because they have to go to New York right after.
Yeah, usually I catch Good Morning America, but I just slept in.
So there's I went online and read the Instagram apology, and it was just as vapid and unclear as his live apology that was rehearsed. I don't know. There's nothing there. So I don't accept his apology, Garrett. I don't accept it. And I don't even need to be apologized to. He's the one who needs to stop believing these things or thinking these things.
Well, Chris, you're not far from Minnesota. What's the vibe on the street there?
Yeah,
Garrett did nothing wrong.
Exactly. They say Garrett is a man of the people. They all love him. I'm speaking categorically and universally for everyone. And I don't know exactly, but I would get my sense in the time that I've been here, brief time that I've been here so far, is I can see someone like Garrett fitting in well out here, and that vapidness is I'm not saying people of the Midwest are vapid. I'm just saying I think he does. He has kind of a cheerfulness, and I haven't followed the controversy outside of the show very much. So if I just met Garrett on the street, I wouldn't know about him liking obscene or disgusting things online. And I think that could be true of anyone.
How many conversations have you had since you landed there about The Bachelor?
I mean, that's a good question.
See, I tell everyone. I'm like, Bachelor podcast, Bachelor podcast, Bachelor masters. Oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, I do a Bachelor podcast. So it comes up a lot.
It's been a whirlwind because I'm thinking that the finale aired on Tuesday, on Monday night, right? And we were traveling yesterday, and we were on, it ended up being one of those days that our flight route, even though we were only going to into Midway in Chicago, it was still like a full day flight plan where we had to like stop in San Jose, make another stop, and then fly to Chicago. So I think it's only been with my girlfriend that I've discussed the show with. She watched it with me. And then I was trying to catch Bachelor in Paradise, you know, in like segments in free time that I could. So yeah, only with Elizabeth. That's it.
For some reason, I haven't actually looked it up. It's Joe's grocery store. Although now that he's a famous
grocer
from Paradise,
along with Ralph,
he's probably never going to show up to the grocery store ever again.
Ralph's and Jeff's. Yeah. I know. So he definitely had a grocery store up until recently. Do we know that much is true?
Well, I'm sure now it's called Joe's and has big neon lights in front of it.
Right.
Yeah, and he's selling real estate right next door as well, right?
His face blinking.
Well, it's like, was his name Rupert G, the guy who owned the store next to David Letterman on?
Where they'd go down and like get the sandwiches.
Yeah.
I'm
pretty sure
that
guy's name
was
Rupert
too young,
G,
but
and he's turned into his own whole media empire.
I loved it. Oh, they did. I miss David Letterman, the real David, the younger David Letterman. Yeah. Not that you say that.
Well, so do we care to talk more about Garrett and Blake?
Well, the only thing I wanted to say was that they tried to deceive us, and this seems to be a new theme for The Bachelor. Not really, but it feels like a more prevalent theme, that they tried to deceive us the entire episode by having Becca say, or she has been saying, I thought it was going to be Blake for the longest time. That was never true.
Yeah, no one thought that.
Yeah.
She did not think that. And that it evolved, the quote was, it evolved slowly with Garrett. First off, that's a contradiction in terms.
Yeah. I think she actually said those words to him.
Well, she said it to the camera, to us, to her family. I know you have a comment on the sister, right?
Wait, why? Why do I have a comment on the sister?
You love picking apart families that choose to like support their kids.
Was the sister the one with, like, the blondish curly hair?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Emily.
Well, I'm curious to know why you think so low of me as that I would have an opinion on the sister.
I don't think that's a low think. That's a low, a perception. I just know you comment on the stuff that I try to ignore, but now I'm trying to pick up on.
Okay, well, I'll give you this. Now, I have watched 5 hours of Bachelor plus another hour and 15 minutes of Better Call Saul, so it's all a little blurry. Was the sister wearing a gray t-shirt?
Like, I would not have remembered.
I can't remember.
I think she was just wearing a t-shirt, but I don't have a vision of her wearing anything other than just a regular t-shirt.
I guess that means she didn't strike you as a zero like Rachel's brother-in-law, right, Craig?
Well, I don't know. Zero, it's not like... If she is, in fact, wearing a t-shirt, I mean, she didn't really dress up.
No, yeah, and she mentioned a fiancé.
She has a fiancé? Emily is she's going to be married?
That's what she mentioned. She said, I wish my fiancé talked about me that way when she was talking to Garrett. And it was kind of a passing comment, but I was like, "What? Where is this guy then? You know, he can't go to the Maldives?
Right.
Fiancé was a big deal.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to follow that relationship.
Yeah, I'm interested. No,
maybe
I'm not.
She'll show up on Bachelor in Paradise. All right. Well, so I don't know. I guess I don't remember her enough to have an opinion, which maybe is an opinion in itself.
Well, I mean, it just bothers me that I tuned out during Blake's date because all she wanted from him was attention and reassurance and like touch and all this kind of just attention, you know, general male attention. So it kind of was cringy there because I was just frustrated that, you know, she's not going to pick him. Why is she still talking to him?
Right. She's been criticized for making him go through the whole proposal.
Right. But the fact that they had her say all these things about it, I thought it was going to be Blake forever. Like, that's absolutely not true. It's frustrating that they're toying with our minds like that. And I think they do it even more in Bachelor in Paradise. That's supposed to be our kind of sanctuary from all that, because if you mix these people in a hotel where they don't have any contact, even with English speakers outside of that area, they're going to get drama, but instead they're trying to push this drama on us, and it's really mm-hmm. bothersome. I got Bachelor in Paradise for the first time ever really annoyed me. Maybe it's time to wash it out and like really start all over again. And that's our segue, guys.
Wait. I can't wait to hear about this, but since I know what road that's going to lead us down, how about we close the book first on Becca? Yeah.
Yes, close that book.
Close it, Chris.
I don't know. It was the least surprising finale. Craig, you already brought up some of the emotional trauma that Blake seems to have faced. It was the least climatic, aka most anticlimactic thing.
Blake... It went from kind of a cute thing that he was so tense and...
Mitten.
But when he was on the final rose, like after this has all been done, he's sitting there, it's like, I'm really worried for this guy.
Yeah, I can see that. I agree. I don't necessarily like Garrett more than Blake, but he did seem more suited to walk away with this kind of relationship afterward, whereas Blake seems to have unhinged throughout the process in a worrying way.
To close out, I guess, the obvious, since night, we could have told you this since week one, people, that I think we did, that Garrett was going to win. And I think the girls did too, right? They said, whoever you give your first impression rose to, that's your guy. Do you think they're going to stay together?
What does that say about, we do this podcast to try to figure out people, trying to make sure that we express that these are observations around what we would call mainstream Western pop culture types. So as not, you know, we're not purposely excluding marginalized folks, but that's just the nature of the show that we're critiquing. Prefaced by all that, I mean, there has to be some statement on the fact that all of the girls stick with the guy they give the first impression rose to. I mean, do these kind of women always stick with their first choice? Is it really true what they say, that a woman decides within 5 minutes whether or not they're going to sleep with you?
No, but... that I can say that's unequivocally not true, but I'm not that kind of girl. So maybe, I mean, I'm not a girl like that, the kind of girl that would go on The Bachelor. I'm not that kind of girl, but I got to say that men tend to give the first impression rose to someone they absolutely want to sleep with despite their personality. Right.
Right.
And women tend to look a little bit deeper and decide something based on something deeper. Cause we all know she chose Garrett based on her dad.
Well,
that's what she said.
I mean, what you're saying is a little contradictory, because how can she pick somebody that she gets along deeper based on nothing?
But then end up with them.
But they've known each other for 5 seconds.
You know that Garrett was not the best looking one there. I don't think she thought that way.
Okay, so if she picked her dad, that doesn't explain any of the other bachelorettes.
Right. I don't remember enough to give you like evidence, but I remember enough to make him tell you that they all felt something that was a little bit deeper than just a physical connection. They felt real emotion there. They felt like this, you know, this person that pulled them. Now, but then again, having said that, Sean from JoJo's, or Caitlin and JoJo, their respective winners were the best looking guys on their shows, on their episodes.
Yeah, that's not saying much about the other guys.
No, I'm not. But, I mean, they were. So they were picking someone that they happened to have an emotional connection with and that was the best-looking one. But I don't think that's true in Becca's case. Right. I think we need more evidence. I mean, so Rachel gave Brian?
Apparently.
But my question is, are they going to stay together?
Don't you think there is some sort of confirmation bias, though, in real relationships that The Bachelor reveals, whether or not we think it's physical or emotional? I do think there's something to, like, a reason you tell yourself very early on that I like or dislike a certain person.
Yeah.
And then despite any evidence, yep. you still look for reasons to think of that original narrative. Like, yeah. oh, yeah, that's yes. what I see.
I think girls are more likely... Women. I think women are more likely to stick with people because they don't want to go through finding a new person than a man would. And I think it evidences itself in the fact that they give the first rose and they are convincing themselves that this guy is a good person despite evidence to the contrary.
Right. Well, that was three bachelorettes. I don't think that's true for most or even 50%.
Well,
I think that's
four.
Just the coincidence. Or, right, four now.
Well, that's a pretty big sample.
Right, but then, like you said, confirmation bias. They came and said it to her. And so she was like, oh, right. interesting.
Oh, I could be the four. I could be included in this group.
Yeah, and she's always wanted
there
friends.
There you go, Chris.
Like,
that's
no.
what it's really about. She yeah. she wanted to feel friends. Like she belongs. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, because she didn't have any for her hometown date, so she right. needs to keep her new friends for the next hometown date.
She also, yeah, she wanted to steal Jason's friends just to have someone to talk to.
Yeah. No,
just kidding. But
I think they'll stick together.
I
don't know.
I think they will, too.
I don't think so.
Some of the past people who have split up, I feel like we've seen on the show that they have a personality type where they want to sleep around or they're not done exploring, something like that, like a Nick or, right. But Becca, we've noted this. It just seems, she just seems like she wants to be too settled, you know.
Oh.
And I don't know. Garrett seems. I just still don't have a beat on the guy after a season of watching him. This should be I guess it would be more of a content warning again, and I'm sorry to put it this way, but that he has some light brain damage. So they're going to stick together.
You know, Becca has been saying stuff like things that are not Garrett, 100%. Like, you seem like you'd really stick with me through all this good and bad, and you're going to be there 50-50. Something he absolutely did not do for his last wife.
Yeah,
that he did.
Didn't your uncle bring that up?
Yeah.
Barely. The uncle called him a poet. What the
heck? Uncle loved him. I thought Garrett might maybe get together.
How was that showing that you can commit or something like that?
Then they just gave him an out.
Yeah. Garrett messed that answer up too. Not that it mattered because he still won. But I thought the easier answer is you underline how young you were, you weren't ready for it, and that you were emotionally scarred and you didn't want the sanctity of marriage would have been ruined. But he waffled in a way that I thought was completely unconvincing.
Yeah, well,
it's
it didn't matter.
It's the worst version of the answer. It didn't matter.
Because they saw Becca's dad, so they were like, oh, it doesn't matter what you say.
You're a poet.
You're a poet. What the heck? That's where I really got mad, because I was like, you guys can tell me a lot of things, TV, but you can't tell me that idiot's a poet. Like,
it was because he was crying. That's why. They just thought, he's here and he's crying. I think
Right, because men cry if they're poets, right?
Right, they're sensitive. Oh my God, get real. Anyways, so then, right, then the complete deception kept going on into the Bachelor in Paradise, and that's where I was like, F this franchise. And I've never thought that before in my life.
Wow. Do you feel like in some ways Uncle was secretly married to the mom?
I thought he was.
No.
But it turns out he's the brother of the mom,
the
right?
dad dies.
The brother of the dad.
And sort of like in the Old Testament, the brother marries the wife.
Right.
That didn't happen, though?
Well, I hope not. But didn't it seem kind of like they were creepily father and mother, wife and husband?
Yeah. Yeah, there was something a little... incestuous. Every family is different, but yeah. So I don't mean to... Because they all showed up, but there was something off.
No, it's okay. We already gave a trigger warning. That means we're clear.
Okay.
We're clear.
Okay, great.
You can say whatever you want now.
Yeah.
Well, when we had the four hometown dates, except for commercials, they all seemed like a big blob of people like rolled out, right? Like, I couldn't tell Colton's family from Blake's family, except for like Blake's mom's hair was the only thing that really stood out to me the entire 2 hours. of the hometown date. So, like, even Becca's family was just a blob of people with, like, hands and arms and faces,
well,
I guess.
I did think they were her TV family. I was joking when I was watching that it's like, oh, her TV mom is here again. The actress they hired last season, in Ari's season, to show up, and she's back here. They Christ don't know factor. Each other. Yeah, exactly. Because her sister doesn't look very much like her, you're right. And her mom, I can kind of see, in a very generic way, like, this kind of Midwestern white kind of look. But beyond that, I didn't see a lot of similarity. So it did seem like, just throw these people together. They're the family.
Yeah.
No problem.
I mean, Ari's family did not feel like that. They felt like that is a lineage that they can't spoil. And realize that has
what, because they're like kings and queens in the Netherlands or something.
I don't know. They just
yeah. Well, I wasn't quite as sour on Bachelor in Paradise as you, ECR. I still enjoyed it.
I'm ready to make my case. All right.
Trigger warning. We're going to talk about Bachelor in Paradise now.
Boom,
this
boom, boom.
What happens, Craig? People overuse it, and then I hardly ever comment on the internet unless I have to. For some kind of misguided thing, and we've talked about this before. But one time someone said that, and because people joke about it so much, I was like, that's not a joke. You know, like, why is that funny? And they're like, it's not funny, it's an actual trigger warning. I'm like, oh, that comes from something? I realized then that it's not a thing that people joke about. But anyway.
And so someone prefaced with a trigger warning, and you...
Because I'm used to it being a joke, I said, how is that funny? Or something like that.
So we shouldn't be flippantly using trigger warning.
I'm used to it being funny. I'm just saying that every time you say it, it convolutes it more, or it makes it less salient.
Without comedy, it's tough to have critical insight into pop culture. So there's our defense of trigger warning jokes.
Pretty great.
We're like Jim Jefferies.
Yeah, it's tough, I guess. I guess the best trigger warning, you'd have to look at the totality of the content of the episode afterward, and then at the front, if you really had something serious to say, oh, this episode would contain content of X, Y, and Z. But I don't know. I think if our audience is upset with certain things, that's something we'd certainly take into account. But I think, from my perspective, we're usually pretty good about trying to be respectful about certain topics.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's definitely been our focus of the podcast since we started. So anyway, we've already trigger warning the entire Bachelor in Paradise episode. Go for it, EZR. Let us know.
We could like start the conversation because I have to kind of get there. I'm kind of, I don't have to dive right in because I want to, first off, start with these kinds of conditions that I didn't know existed. For example, I had no idea Kendall was a fan favorite because I really don't like her.
What rock have you been living under?
I can't believe she is, if she is.
Well, she's part of the Becca circle that she's created.
Yeah, she's on the inner ring.
Yep.
But she's
one of them.
Ring, but she's at the bottom of that totem pole. Like, she's not interesting enough, I think. Even though
she
tried to be.
Wasn't she one of the hometowns for Ari? So she was one of the final four.
Yeah, remember her
season.
Twin sister was wearing that halter top and trying to hit on Ari?
Yeah.
Remember during that?
I sure do.
And she rented a barn to put all of her taxidermy in and played it off like it was a barn she's had her whole life.
Right. Yeah. It was.
She still leans on that very heavily. I like that when we talk about if someone brings up Harry Potter, somehow that's bachelor code for quote nerd. Well, yeah. Kendall is like the quote quirky. It's like the liking ukulele and taxidermy. It's like that makes her quirky, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that she's right. You know, there was a lot of like swaying of the narrative. I don't want to say swaying. I want to say completely contradicting what's true that the producers did here. That was just, that's the basis of my thesis here. For example.
Is that with Kendall specifically or the episode?
Too much hand by the producers is what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it all had to do with Colton and Tia, right? Ultimately.
Yeah.
I can give you a lot
huge.
Of smaller examples.
Well,
for example...
Hold on, before you go there, I think I know what you're saying. So, well, from a broad level. So the producers on Bachelor in Paradise always have a hand in who comes out and when, who gets the date cards. Mm-hmm. But you're saying the way they held Colt until the next day was way too over the top in terms of creating drama.
I think it's even like a deeper conspiracy than that. I mean, conspiracy used in a term in a way that's like they have inside knowledge that they're slowly doling out to be able to create this thing that we all know isn't true. Because I'm no social media sleuth, but just the small short times I go on there, I know that what they're saying is blatantly not true, right?
Haven't
been together since this until this one time in Bachelor in Paradise. That Tia was just waiting for him, and then he showed up, and it was like, "What? Oh, I can't believe you're here! Wow, you're fine." You know. Anyway, let me lay out my case slowly, and by the end of this podcast, right, you can tell me if I'm crazy. But
this is like Serial, except for Bachelor Masters. I like it.
It works so much better this way. I'd rather hear this. Just kidding.
Yes. What was the one about Alabama? Shit Town?
Oh, yeah, S-Town.
Yeah, I think that's more,
AKA Shit Town.
More apropos.
Good call, Craig.
So we all remember Bachelor Winter Games. Okay, small piece of evidence number one that all adds up to more. We all remember that in the Bachelor Winter Games, Ashley said that, you know, her and Kevin, that's the Canadian firefighter, right, broke up because, it just didn't work out that way. And no one said no, right? Kevin didn't come out and say that's not true.
Oh,
Ashley,
right, the Jared thing.
Said this on her podcast. Ben, her good friend, Ben Higgins, kind of was like, yeah, I talked you through the whole thing. Now Kevin is saying that Ashley cheated on him.
I thought that was great. I think that was awesome that the show left that in there because it was so, like, matter of fact. Basically, he was saying, we all knew Jared was going to swoop in and take her. Now she's not a virgin. Whatever, I took her virginity.
But they made Kevin say that. So here's another part of my annoyance with whatever they're doing here, is that they're trying to kind of straw man us to concentrate on this other issue when the issue is right in front of us, but it's not being addressed the right way. So they're kind of twisting our heads around this thing that's actually there.
Will you clarify what's the issue they're trying to get us to focus on and what's the real issue?
So, right. So the real issue is that I think Ashley told the truth. I think they just broke up and then Jared came in and they dated. But they're trying to make it sound like they told Kevin, say that she cheated on you so that when she comes on Bachelor in Paradise, you guys can have a little bit of a confrontation there.
Because she's going to come for this proposal thing that they're going to do later on.
Right. So it's a way to kind of set up an argument that probably didn't really exist. Right?
Yeah.
They've had time to confront each other.
Well, they have to put it in terms that he'll understand. So they're like, the producer's like, all right, you shot on the goal and the defender deflected into the goalkeeper. And
the guy's a firefighter.
Oh, well, he's from Canada.
But he plays hockey, doesn't he?
Oh.
I thought he also does that.
I'm sure you...
On Winter Games, he was one of the better athletes.
Oh, okay.
Well, who are the characters in Backdraft? I don't know.
I forget.
Kevin Costner? Who knows? Kurt Russell. Okay. Well, okay, hold on. Why does Raven keep saying in the previews that she had her first orgasm in Paradise?
There's another lie. There's another thing that they're saying.
Well, no, because did she mean Paradise as in the Paradise that Nick and I went to for the fantasy suites? Which was in, like, Norway?
Right. Don't make excuses for them. We can't, you know, they really meant this. No, they are lying. They're lying.
Everyone knows that Raven lost her virginity in a tent in the middle of the Arctic tundra.
Well, that wasn't her virginity. It was supposedly her first orgasm.
That's what I meant. I keep saying virginity. I meant orgasm.
Oh, my God.
But she can't lie about that because everyone in Bachelor Nation knows that.
But they did because they don't care anymore. We're living in this political age where you can just say whatever.
Post-facts Bachelor?
Yes. Remember in Misery... When the lady gets really mad and says, like, he didn't get out of the cock-a-doodle car. That's how I feel the whole time. I was like, you guys are just straight up lying to us. Do you guys remember that in Misery where she gets really mad?
Yeah. When Cappy takes the turn for her.
Yeah. Basically, she says that her favorite superhero was in a car. There was like serials back in whenever where you'd go to the movie theater and watch the next episode of whatever.
Right.
This guy falls off the cliff. And then she's like, no, I can't believe my superhero died. And then she goes back the next week and they show him getting out of the car right before it falls off the cliff. And she's pissed because they lied to her.
Right.
And that's how, anyways, that's, I mean, that's how I
kind of the premise of the whole story. Right.
Kind of. Yeah. The book's a little different, but anyway, so here we are with them trying to do this. So let's keep going talking about the episode, and I will bring it up every time some lie comes up.
Okay. Should we have a lie sound?
Yeah, like a ding,
ding.
A red light.
Yeah, maybe a loud chicken cluck.
You really are just, in the middle.
All right, we'll point
just
to you.
Just kidding.
Chris, you can chicken cluck.
I'll test it out, but. ECR, this comes back to, on the broader point, I guess maybe I may have seen this a little differently because of a longstanding kind of difference. We're like two Supreme Court justices that just have different constitutional interpretations, where I expect there to be manufactured drama and these kinds of lies and what. It's sort of like I'm part of this generation that's destroying the world because these details don't matter as much. And it's
you're Scalia.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Chicken cluck.
I'm just kidding.
But as far as like aesthetically, it's like, well, yeah, it's The Bachelor and Bachelorette. It's like what I see on camera, I don't expect to be like the capital T truth. There's some, like, that truth comes out from some amalgam of like, what happens behind the scenes, what happens on camera. But I always expect there to be producing, and I just take for granted that people think like, yeah, of course this is going to be like a heavily produced manufactured thing, and they got to find their like A, B, C stories, because if they don't have a story, they're not going to air that, these shows.
I agree with you in 2007, Chris, but now they should
What's the difference?
Because now social media tells us the truth. I mean, only in terms of like, TV romances, not the truth. But now we know that Tia and Colton have met up plenty of times. They've probably, you know, Colton is a liar anyways, because he already said that he had never brought a girl home and he had. So they're trying to impose their cookie cutter drama plots on top of social media that we all know, that we all have easy access to. All it takes is 10 seconds of Googling.
But we all, is that really everyone of the 5 to 6 million people that watch every week? I would say it might be a large minority, but that's where I think what you're saying would be like a huge, it would be a transformation of the Bachelor franchise into something that might as well not be called Bachelor anymore, because it would be so tonally different and... it just doesn't seem like it would fit. Like, I don't follow any of this stuff, so I don't know when I tune in, and I don't know that I'm so... that there aren't a lot of people that are like me that also don't know anything about what they're seeing.
Well, I can give you the example. I mean, like, I think you bring up a good point, and I think that's a long-term question we can keep asking ourselves, but I can give you the example of Caitlin's season, when I decided... after a lot of watching years, probably a decade of watching The Bachelor, that I said to myself, or less, I guess, at that point, I'm going to look this one thing up because I don't know if it's true. It turned out to be real. And I was like, okay. And that's as much interneting as I did about it. And then, you know, as I've done this and as I've had to do other things, I've realized that there are a lot of fans online that just... join groups casually, join Facebook groups, join Instagram, follow Instagrams like ours. And so now I'm realizing that people are involved, even if they're minorly involved. It just is part of liking something now.
Well, another devil's advocate point I'd have is, don't you think that some of these things that get you angry about the show are sort of a different level of drama, that even though you're saying you're upset in the moment, it's like, well, they don't want you to be completely satisfied after a reality TV episode ends, even if it's like an annoyance or frustration. You're going to keep watching because you want to see if like the real, like the social media story comes out or contradicts.
I'm interested in addressing that, but let me put pause on that because I think there's an example that's going to come up that I think is important to that point. Okay. So let's put pause on that question. And so is there anything you guys saw about them going, Tia having to pick Chris, right? So there's an example of a drama plot that they manufacture, and it's very obvious, but that doesn't bug me because that's part of it. What bothers me is that Tia is acting.
But in the past, hasn't she been kind of one of these queen social bees, as you've observed, that it's like, well, of course she's going to go along with something like this because she has more power in paradise here if she can go on these dates and play with a lot of people's hearts and also have her girl pals that will back her up. And she has all those things when she plays by the rules here in the beginning.
That's she's going to act. Raven.
Can I just ask, who was the lanky, tall dude that was suddenly
surfer? Oh, yeah, I didn't know him. I know. Who is like, that surfer? Who's the big Lebowski guy?
I'm the coolest guy, and I think you're a rockin' babe.
Who are you talking this episode? Yeah. Or a preview? A blonde guy?
Nick. Some stoner dude.
Oh, you guys remember Nick? He was the lovely blonde woman for that Leo. He used to have long hair. And
he was just on this last season?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Up until the football episode where Clay broke himself. And then that might have been one of his last episodes.
I vaguely remember now that you say that, but I had the same thought Craig did when he showed up. I was like, who is this guy? And why is he sounding like Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Yeah. Why is he doing this voice?
And he kept doing these things with his hands, like creating shapes with his hands while he talked.
Yeah, he was nervous.
You're like a crystal figure, and if I can show you the geometrical structures with my hands here. And then she's like, yeah, I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
Respawn Chelsea.
Because I did like some of the people they brought on. I mean, we didn't get to see a lot in this episode, but for the season, that were cut really quickly in their seasons. Like Nisha pops to mind, where it's like, she said, oh, if you blink too fast, you'll miss me in Ari's season, I think. And I thought, oh, she seems like kind of cute and cool, and that's kind of a really self-aware way to introduce yourself. That's great that they're bringing on some people like that.
Yeah, but and I think they always do that, right?
Yeah.
Because there's people that are looking to, rehabilitate their characters. And there's people that they are just really would have been a personality if they had passed one more week.
Right.
Okay, let's get back to Tia here. So,
okay.
You're Tia, but you're on the show.
Before you get back to Tia, can we talk about Kendall and, well, more better, Crystal. Crystal's the one we want to talk about.
Craig, that's old Crystal. You're doing old Crystal.
Right. I like Crystal.
Do they show her making out with Jordan in the previews for later on?
They kind of imply it because they have them both on beds that look similar.
Oh, I like that we're sitting on this day bed.
Well,
apparently you guys don't find that as amusing as I do. Right. I like it when people on The Bachelor share the lexicon. The producers have said, that's a daybed. And they're also used to picking up Bachelor jargon that it just spreads. Like, okay, that's a daybed. And everyone starts calling it a daybed.
But that's what it's called.
Yeah,
if they're outside, they're called daybeds. That's what they're called. Even in Love Island.
So you would say, oh, this is so nice. It's so nice that we're sitting here on this daybed. Like, say that?
I've heard it so many times that if someone said that, I wouldn't not know what they're talking about.
If someone said, oh, I'm really enjoying this daybed, I would look at them, why did you just call it a daybed?
Well, isn't it weird that there's a bed out, a bed outside?
Well, it's
isn't
a
it better to have a preference? Like a?
You just said any bed that's outside is a daybed.
So. Except that I'm sure they're, you know, the way outdoor furniture feels different because it doesn't get moldy. It's like that, right?
Oh. I guess
we had a day bed when I was a senior in school that was just in the lobby, and that's the only context I've heard it in before. It was inside, but in the lobby of this old house in South Central LA.
Did you only sit on it during the day?
Not really. No, I think people used it in social situations.
They stumbled home from the bar or something.
Yeah, I did have. I had someone from my hometown in upstate New York show up unexpectedly in front of my house in L.A. one night, and he was on mushrooms and needed some place to sleep, and he used the day bed, and he stayed there for a few days until our roommates kicked him out.
So that was college. That was like every weekend for me for college. We had people living on our couches routinely that we didn't know.
Did you live in one of those Victorian houses, Chris, with the like four stories and even, you know, a little attic and all these crawl spaces? And
yeah, it's that kind of thing. I think it was built in 1898, and it was it had like a little winding staircase. We had like eight people living in there. It wasn't a fraternity or anything. It was mostly like film students, but we all knew each other, but it was just this couple that would rent out this house mostly to students. We digress.
Chris knows where he lived.
That's all from the daybed, too. So isn't that funny?
Right.
Just one word brings up this whole rabbit hole.
I don't even know where you'd buy a daybed. I guess at Pier 1 Imports. All right, look. So when are we going to get back to Tia? There's
you're
a big
right.
question attached to it.
Tia.
We're getting back to it, but let me just say that Kendall, here's another reason why Kendall really bugs me, because she is judging Crystal for having, you know, a sexy voice on The Bachelor. Like, that's what it's for, right? To sexually allure, to like bring out your sexual allure to some guy, and then all of a sudden she doesn't. And I think Kendall has an affected voice. She has this fake tick that she does where she stops and starts conversations like that. And it's really
it's
annoying.
It's the Zooey Deschanel thing. It's the quirky girl thing.
Yeah. And I think.
Easier, to be fair, Crystal had a huge transformation, though.
Well, she
that's
finally got
that
off.
Happened within the season.
I don't like to throw out people being on drugs flippantly because, like, we don't know. But I think I was pretty convinced that she was coming off methamphetamines last time around, and so she's totally cleaned herself up.
Fine, like, yeah, she doesn't look. She looks a lot healthier.
Yeah.
To me, not that I think she was on drugs. I don't think she was on that, but I do. I think she looked strange, you know. I think mixing the wine with her prescriptions was not good.
Right.
And her voice wasn't like a little affected. It was a lot of the affectation was huge, and I think that was even a point on that Women Tell All that season, that switch, right? So,
well,
I don't know. Calling it out she didn't call it out to her in person. It was just an observation and like the one-on-one, and I think that. That's a valid observation.
I think just Kendall is just as vapid as any of them, and she can't really call out some. She's just doing it because Crystal's an easy target. She was already disliked, and I get why she was disliked. But to call out being fake on TV, that's like, you are fake all the time, I'm sure. And I don't like, you know, call her out on the things she does, but not her trying to be normal on TV. That's very hard to do. She was trying to be sexual, and I don't, that doesn't really bother me because that's what the show was about.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kendall she doesn't bother me. I don't know if she's the most interesting person, but I think Crystal, it's just the risk that you play when you're going to be a bigger personality like Crystal, where it's like, well, the risk is it's not going to pay off and people are going to notice the big things you do and comment on them negatively. And yeah, Kendall's a little more in that constrained range of emotions, so she doesn't have as much to be called out on, but Crystal does, and I think I can understand why a lot of the people there would be upset with her, but that's why you bring her there too, right? It's sort of like she's perfect to bring there.
My perspective. I mean, I agree now that I think about it. I'm with Chris. I think of anyone who's on a path towards redemption, it's Crystal. But you're right, Kendall really annoyed me too, now that I think about it. The whole thing with, I like to go on dates in cemeteries is just
That part did annoy me, because that felt, ECR, to your point, where it was like one of those produced things where I think she was saying it to Joe at the time, where it's like, he obviously doesn't care.
Yeah.
And they're like you just need to dig in.
Cemetery. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I love to be, oh, that's your quirky thing that you have. Wow, that's so Manic Pixie Dream Girl. Very interesting. Let's have a great romance.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I think everyone, we live here, right? I have gone to picnics at old cemeteries because people go to movies at cemeteries here. Yeah. We've all gone to Hollywood Forever. That's normal. Like, that to me feels normal. That doesn't, it doesn't have to be scary. Like, where...
Yeah, you're right. It's her posturing, that she's posturing these things that I think are normal to a lot of people, as though they're supposed to be. Like, you know, if everyone on Bachelor in Paradise were playing ukulele, she would drop it right away because it wouldn't be quirky anymore. Right. Or if everyone loved taxidermy, she needs to find something that's, quote, like, weird or strange. But it's not, really. It's like the Disney version of those things.
Because she's not truly weird, like...
You know, like, conventionally attractive person trying to win a reality dating show. No, she's not weird.
Right.
Yeah.
And, right, like, liking things is not a personality trait. I think that's something we've forgotten because of TV. Having a like of any kind does not define your personality.
Oh, controversial devil's advocate. Wait a second. Does this mean Garrett's in the clear?
Yeah, hold on. You sure you want to say that?
Oh, with Garrett, well, I don't mean, it's not fair because clicking on something, that's very different because you're proving who you are with a sentiment and with a group of people.
Wait, where's the chicken sound?
Isn't that different?
You
don't think that's different?
I totally see what you're saying. It's tricky, but yeah.
Just being funny, I think.
Right, okay.
Because what if Kendall liked ukulele on Facebook? Does that define her? I think it does. I do think it works, more as the internet often can do more to someone's their negative detriment than to positively define someone. So I agree with that. Yeah.
I just think it's pot smoker. I think I have a really cute, funny list of like an owl, like a meme type thing of an owl pointing at a chalkboard and says, this is not, you know, a personality trait. And it was on a really funny page called, like, it sounds like white peopling. That's what the page is called. I did not name the page. But then it has an owl with a little, like, thing, goes, this is not a personality trait. And it's like, pot smoker, surfer. And it's, they're right. You know, it's not a personality trait. It's just something you do, but you can define yourself by it depending how far you take it. But is that really a personality? Because I've met all kinds of different people that can like weird things on the internet, but that doesn't mean you're weird. That just means that's what you like. So, anyways.
T-T-T-A.
Okay.
That's like Chia. You know, I'm trying to sing the Chia Pet song.
Oh, yeah. Ch-ch-ch-chia. That's what it sounded like.
I like how she's suddenly from Little Rock. I thought she was from, like, Butt Crack, Arkansas.
She was in Wiener. She was from Wiener.
Right, but now she's from Little Rock.
Well, I always forget, where's Raven from? So it was definitely Tia was from Wiener. Wiener.
Right. Well, one was, they were like, both small towns are right next to each other, I think.
Yeah.
Like, they probably went to the same high school in the county or whatever.
I guess they decided they got all the mileage out of that humor, and it's time to bring some respectability back.
Don't they all live in Nashville anyway?
Isn't that I love when you say... Well, Craig and EC are actually, but I just said Craig first because he brings it up more often. But is that another thing that's not necessarily true? Like, they have to pretend they haven't met each other when a lot of them probably have in Nashville or wherever. Oh,
yeah, I'm sure they, like, live together even, you know.
Because some of them, when they're like, who is that? Oh, I was thinking, they probably all met each other sometime. I doubt they don't know who one another are.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
I think the Nashville enclave is strictly the past female contestants.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know how many, if there's any of the guys that live there, but your point's valid. And I always like how big the cheers are when someone new comes on. Oh my god! Versus, who? Because you're right, it totally, they really, in reality, none of them should know each other. But that's just not how it is. Obviously.
Well, you can assume that they are, I mean, you know that all the girls on the same season knew each other. And you can also assume that they've contacted each other if they like each other. And then there's these parties, I guess, right? Where they all meet up somewhere that are exclusive to them, not even viewer watching. I mean, maybe there are.
I want to get into one of those parties.
They'd spot you quick. Not because you don't look like you, but because you weren't on the show.
I could just make up a show. Like, oh, I was on one season of Temptation Island. They would have no idea.
Did I tell you guys that Temptation Island is coming back? There's an open casting call. Not that any of us are interested, breaking Bachelor Masters news, guys. Temptation Island is back. So excited.
They need some characters who live podcast while they're on the show. They have to cut out of dates like at night. They're like, it's 8 o'clock. I got to go talk on Bachelor Masters. Oh, what's that?
I really love
Craig.
Yeah.
Because he has this podcast.
Well, I was thinking about that. So in the world of podcasting, our listeners have heard me bitch about this. There's obviously the corporate podcast, and then there's us. But there are a group of us non-corporate podcasts. We don't get money. We're not part of Podcast One or something, right? But even the ones I thought were non-corporate, like just today, they have guests, past Bachelor guests on their podcast to discuss the episode. What are we doing wrong? I mean, I don't know if we really want to become a podcast that has guests, because I kind of like the vibe we've created, but how are they getting guests?
I mean, do we really want guests? Because then we can't talk crap anymore.
I don't think we really want guests. But how are they getting them? Are they, like, getting them over DM or something? Come be on our podcast. We have no money to give you.
Or they know someone who knows someone. Yeah. I think that's how it goes, right?
We don't know anyone that knows anyone.
I know someone that knows Amanda Stanton.
Who?
She's the one who gets single right around Bachelor in Paradise time, but I don't think she, the one who went with one of the past winners. If you guys looked her up, you know who she is. She's the one with two kids who was on Nick's
If we could ever get Bika on the show, I think we could make an exception. She'd be a fun interview because I think we'd ask her questions that the other podcasts don't ask her.
Yeah, we'll have to show that we've got this rad pirate kind of spirit and that she can come on and say what she wants,
you know.
You guys know that I have a tough I'm recently been very tough on Bika because in all fairness, she's younger than me, so TV is just a vehicle for social media fame, whereas before social media would be a vehicle for TV fame. Like, that's not important to people her age, right?
Right.
I'm probably a good 10 years older than her, and I think that's ridiculous. I'd want to be If I had that kind of mentality, I'd rather be on TV than on social media, but that's their end goal, is how many likes, how many followers. Right. I was really upset with the whole Leo, the way she handled the Leo thing.
Right.
If you guys want to talk about that.
Well, maybe we can create some space for Leo next week. I don't really have the energy to talk about it.
It's true. He's only on the teaser this week. He's not in the episode yet.
Right.
Okay. Right.
I mean, this whole thing was sexual harassment, and someone filed a lawsuit yesterday or today against Leo.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's let that simmer.
Okay.
And we still have to talk about whatever it is you wanted to talk about with Tia.
Okay.
If we don't get to this, I'm going to feel like we didn't accomplish
Tia.
What we were set out to accomplish. So, please, don't let Chris and I distract you. EZR. What is it that you want to say?
So here they create it. So Colton comes on and, you know, he goes on the date with Tia. And then I don't think it was Chris, but he starts plotting this little opposition to Colton.
With the Goose Gang.
Yeah, the Goose Gang.
And it's a perfect fake takedown. You know, Tia is the victim. Colton's a fame chaser. First off, for what? He was a football player. And in that case, I don't really think it's the producers. I think it's the entire cast in on it. I think it's totally lame that they're trying to. So they know that we at home here are annoyed. I mean, I'm assuming that's their point of getting Chris, the perfect angry man, right? The Ben Stiller angry, ridiculous angry guy.
Well, and especially you said that Tia and Colton are seen as villains, right? So it's. They can create a character like Chris to be the angry person.
Well, I think they're trying to single out Colton as the villain as opposed to Tia and Colton, where I think it's both of them are the villains.
They're both villains.
Right. So they set up this kind of... So they misdirect us to hate only Colton because Chris is pissed that he would ever try to lead on a poor girl like Tia. And I think that really annoyed me.
But wait, that in the the drama of the show, Chris is supposed to have feelings for her, at least the seeds of feelings, right? So it makes sense that his motivation would not be to villainize her, because he wants to knock Colton out to be with her, right? So right. He wouldn't be tarring her right now.
But there are enough that is my ultimate point, that there's enough going on in real life drama that they don't need to put this fake drama on top of it.
No, I agree.
Chris does not care.
I think Chris cares.
Well, but, I mean,
but they there's can a make lot of care. Plot points that aren't adding up. What's that called in film, Chris? Where everything that's introduced in a film has to have meaning.
You mean the plant and payoff that we talked about, like in Back to the Future, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I was thinking of a term differently, but I think it's the same thing. It was like Hitchcock or something said that you shouldn't introduce anything without it meaning something.
Okay. But I know with Hitchcock, there's that thing, the objective correlative, objective corollary, I think, which is like everything has an abstract meaning that you can get from it.
So if we were to believe that, then there's a few plot points that aren't adding up that I don't think we have a resolution for yet, which is, why did he not talk to Tia first, which was weird.
Well, so there you go. That's the setup, right? The setup is that he's not really interested. Of course he is.
He is interested in Tia, but I think it's one thing for the producers to have Colton come the next day and give Tia a card. That's very producer thing to do.
It's right.
It's the thing to say, all right, Colton, when you go in, specifically don't talk to Tia, talk to all the other girls first, and then go talk to Tia.
But that wasn't to make Tia mad. That was, and this is rudimentary, I mean, to them. I think that was to make us think that he's not really interested in her and that we're supposed to be mad at him.
But see, I just don't think the producers would have done that. That's out of style for the Bachelor producers to direct him to these other girls first and then go talk to Tia.
Well, but then Chris goes on camera and says he's not even interested in her. He went to talk to so many girls first. Well,
yeah, I mean, I'm not disagreeing with how it laid out in your analysis of that. I just don't know if we have enough information yet, because I don't know if the producers are that involved that they dictate who you talk to.
Let's say that Colton came in and he kind of knew that there was this drama that was supposed to play out between him and Tia. We still know because he says that he is entertaining other women, especially that second woman that he went on the little date with, that he hasn't put all of his eggs in Tia's basket, right?
Right.
So it could be that he knows that this is out there, but you could see that if this has been hyper-produced on one side, like that this is everything in Tia's mind, but not everything in his mind, especially since he said that date wasn't that big of a thing, you might go and talk to other people first. Because if it really just was like a lunch or something, I could see where it's like, of course, I'll follow up with her eventually. I'm interested, but I'll go and talk to these other people in this kind of innocent way.
Yeah, I figured he was going, at least at first, I thought he was going to talk to Kendall to kind of get a scoop on Tia first.
Yeah.
But then he talked to a few other girls. It seems weird. But I don't want to dwell on that. But see, the whole Chris thing, not manufactured, because he has, you know, he got, I think everything he said was genuine, because it's like, yeah, you asked me on a date, you made out with me, this other guy's showing up, he's competition.
Made Tia pick Chris? Because they knew he'd get like that?
No, I think Tia picking Chris makes perfect sense. She picked the guy that she felt she would have the least attraction to.
Yeah.
Right?
I get that.
Not something you would do? Because then, if it works out with Colton, she could always be like, well, come on, I picked Chris.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like...
Yeah.
You know, if she'd picked something like Jordan or something, then Colton would really have a legitimate gripe later on. Like, well, why did you pick Jordan? I think it was the safest move for her to make. I think it was all on her own. All that's to say, I think all that played out naturally, but it's the thing at the end with the bro crew, duck crew, or whatever the heck it's called.
The goose gang.
Even that I can believe to some extent, because Jordan and the other dude are like the type of dudes that literally cannot survive without getting into other people's business.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm agreeing or disagreeing. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if there's that much producer hand in that. They laid the groundwork, but it all kind of played out.
Let me lay out my thinking, because I think I just told you something and I think I didn't tell you my train of thought, right? So my train of thought is, I know, or at least I know from social media, that Tia and Colton have been way more involved than they pretend to be. So Tia goes on the show, and the whole point is that her and Colton are going to end up together. But she is pretending like, I don't know what's going to happen, but we all know she knows what's going to happen. Then Colton comes on the show, and we're hoping that they're going to address the fact that they've been going out a long time. Now, some of my evidence is that this part right now that we're watching where they're on the boat, and I feel like they get their stories mixed up. They say something, and then they go, oh, yeah, the weekend that we had together, And they just kind of backtrack. It's almost like when you say something you're not supposed to say, and then they say, remember that weekend? Yeah, that weekend was crazy. Oh, yeah, that other – no, just that weekend. Just mention that one weekend because that's all that's happened. Like, I feel that they said that. I could pull it out.
I think if the producers are going to be manipulating this whole thing, they'd also be careful not to edit in things that are going to go counter to what the manipulation is that they're creating.
Well, I think they think we're – so this is where I think they think we're dumb because They're good at editing the parts, but the two actors they have here, Colton and Tia, are not good at speaking, right? So then the producers know we're mad. We're mad that they're lying to us about stuff we already know, at least those of us who are invested in knowing the truth about these two. So what they end up doing is they go, how can we get people to funnel their anger? We still think they're dumb, but we're going to funnel their anger towards one of them. And that guy is going to be Colton because Tia is our golden girl. And that way they'll forget about what they were mad about in the first place. Or they'll forget that they were in a relationship before all this happened. So that's how I see them having prepared this whole scheme. At every turn, they think we're dumb and we forgot the last thing that happened.
Right.
And whether Chris is a pawn or Chris is in on it, or they just let things play out and they told Tia to kiss Chris and whatever, I don't know. But I do think that they are counting that we'd forget a lot of stuff to believe the Colton-Tia love story.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I'll stand by what I said earlier. I think I really need to see next episode to really see how a lot of this plays out to be able to know.
I agree.
But I think you lay out a lot of good points. I mean, I would go so far as to say the audience is dumb, us included. I mean, you know, we're not rocket scientists.
Right. Not just dumb, but gullible. You know, like, I don't even think it's a dumb thing. I think it's a thing where I've been places where someone tells me something that I know isn't right. And I just go, oh, really? Because I'm thinking this is coming from an authoritative source.
Right.
Therefore, it must be true. And it takes me a good 20 minutes, if I really think about it, to be like, wait a minute, that person lied. And that is hard for me to believe, because who would believe a lie about such and such? And in this case, they're telling you something not just with words, but like with pictures and with multiple people in it. And this is my big conspiracy thesis here, is that I think it wasn't just the producers. I think it was Becca. I think it was some of these people. The big players here, and I think some of them are all along for the ride too.
And they all get together and worship Payman, and his spirit will come in.
The best movie so far.
Sorry for kind of a spoiler, but Hereditary.
Hereditary.
Yeah.
It's so, Craig, you're gonna hate it. I loved it.
I haven't even heard of it. I still haven't seen Fallout.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't know what that is.
Mission Impossible.
They're saying it's the greatest action movie of all time.
Whoa.
There was this amazing moment, Chris, that I think you might appreciate. It's gotten ridiculously good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. And
that
96%. And there was a commercial on TV. It said on the screen, on Rotten Tomatoes, 96%.
Yeah.
And then later on in the day, I looked at Rotten Tomatoes, and it was at 95%. And lo and behold, I saw the same ad later, and it said 95%.
Whoa. Oh, they updated that quickly?
Yeah, I thought that was really impressive.
Yeah, I don't know how they would do that, but that is impressive.
Yeah, what if they gotten, like, bombed by 4chan, and it was down to, like, 26%? Would they just cut the commercial?
I don't even believe that anymore. I've seen 90 percentile Rotten Tomato movies, and I've been like, this sucked. I don't know. It's definitely now at this point, I believe the Metacritic thing, but yeah. I don't believe the the fans, right?
Yeah.
They gave Suicide, they had a Suicide Squad mission to get that high up.
It's tricky, yeah, since Rotten Tomatoes doesn't always reflect enthusiasm. It just reflects people that would say it's like a binary yes or no, this is good or bad. So you can get high scores for movies that people don't have enthusiasm for. So yeah, I know. But Mission Impossible has been getting good reviews.
Like The English Patient.
Yeah, Craig, just like The English Patient.
Best picture winner, but yeah, no one is enthusiastic about it.
Right, all the artist is a better...
we got to cut this off, otherwise we're going to be up all night. And I'm already worried that I'm going to be dreaming about Tia and Colton all night.
So. No, Craig, no. No, get it out of your mind.
Well, you're out in the Midwest. It's 10:20 p.m. out there.
Yeah, it is. I know, I'll be up for a little while longer.
He's on our time, so it doesn't... Right. Really make a difference.
Another few hours of hard drinking in Milwaukee.
Yeah, probably some water at this point, but yeah, something like that. Up for a little bit longer.
Living it up, Chris.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll see all of y'all Wednesday. I guess we'll watch. I mean, it's Monday, Tuesday, and then I guess we'll podcast Wednesdays.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
So we hope you'll hang with us, dear listeners. Catch us on social media if you're not already. We really appreciate all your likes. And Bika, if you're out there, you're always welcome. You can be our one interviewee. We'll ask you the tough questions.
Whoa. Kitties.
Wow. See, that should be our sound for when there's lying, is the cat.
That's a cat that's in the room with me.
No fair, Chris. Okay.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Bye. All right.
Bye.